Thank you, Marissa. Okay, wooden wagon. I think it's coming by now. Oh, here it comes. That's the wagon that Tom used to drive in on, but no, not anymore. Tom gets to sit here and watch the wagon come by. With a celebrity driving the wagon, not even driving, just sitting there with a teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. And it's really interesting because every time we go to the celebrity town, they seem upset about something. Maybe it's the lack of shock absorbers on that thing. I don't understand it, but...
I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this.
Oh, it's Tyra Banks.
When my mother yells at this, it's because she loves me.
Okay.
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
You can always come in the middle of the conversation. That seems to be the problem. But the teeny tiny lady backing her up 100% of the way. All right, let's see. It's 12 years after a mom gives birth to a daughter by a donor, a DNA test led to love in Seattle. Okay, so two women love one another. They get married.
Yeah, same-sex marriage.
And then the one wants to get pregnant, so goes to the sperm bank, gets some sample. And mm-hmm. then is able to conceive, and then they have the kid, and then does that couple keep going? They break up?
The other woman in that couple decides that she wants to have a kid.
Oh, I see.
And she does, uh-huh. and once she has a kid, mm-hmm. sometime in the intervening years, yeah. they break up.
Yeah.
The mother of the one kid goes off, mm-hmm. and the mother of the other kid ends up here in Seattle.
Yes.
And at the daughter who was conceived... At the age of 11, says, I would like to find out who my dad is, mm-hmm. who the sperm donor is.
Right.
At the age of 12, they yeah. find out
uh-huh.
who it is. It turns out it's a guy named Aaron Long, mm-hmm. who all they knew about him at the time was that he was a writer, a musician, and a taxi cab driver.
Ah.
And they thought that was a good enough profile. They thought that he'd be kind of creative and all. Well, it turns out that he during
so that's his, what so of you're saying when the woman decides she's going to choose the sperm,
that was all she knew about the sperm donor.
Right. So he was living at his mother's house, was unemployed at the time,
yes.
and was basically donating twice a month to be paid $40. So
that's
if
right.
you're thinking, and, who do I want to yeah. be the father of my child? I want someone living with his mother.
Well, no,
who's
but they 20 don't know that.
Well. You can know that.
No. Well, apparently, the only thing that they were told about him was that he was a writer, a musician, and a taxi cab driver. So that's a kind of romanticized vision of a guy who's an artist, struggling artist. He probably plays gigs at night, and he drives a taxi during the day, and he writes this or that. Anyway, that was her notion of this. So it turns out that this guy did this on a regular basis for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
He figures that he's probably fathered... about 67 children. Oof. He is in contact with 10 of those children because now they are getting to the age where they can request and find out who their father is.
But don't they have to make the first move? The kids.
The kids can't
come in and try to find
just
it,
like
right?
in this particular case we're about to tell you about. Alice made this request. They found out because of that. The mother and the daughter meet. This guy, Aaron Long, and son of a gun, if they don't fall in love with each other.
The woman and the man.
The woman that was in a same-sex marriage after the breakup realized that she also loves this guy, too.
Wow.
And now they're living together with not only his biological daughter, but with another biological daughter of his. Mm. So there's a foursome now.
Lovely.
With a different mom.
Aaron Long only started dating the mother of his 13-year-old daughter last year.
It's kind of like I'm living in a science fiction story.
Confused? You see, Aaron was a sperm donor in the mid-90s.
You got that.
In 2005, Jess selected his sperm to have her daughter with her female partner.
What was it about Aaron's profile, his sperm donor profile, that attracted you?
You build this story in your head of the values that you have. What kind of person might not just share our values, because I don't think those are genetic, but be drawn to the same kinds of things that we're drawn to.
That's when Alice came into the picture. Jess and her wife at the time split up a couple of years ago, at just the time that their precocious daughter, Alice, started poking around the DNA testing site.
Okay, we beat Good Morning America, too. We got most of the facts. Here's the question I have, Tom. When you go on in some of these sites, you pay to start to do a search. They give you for $20. They'll give you eye color, height, weight, and a baby picture up to the age of two.
Wow, yeah. Really? Okay.
But that's... if you would like to know where the person went to college, if you'd like to know about their personality test, explaining the 600-question personality test that they give you, you got to pay more for that. And then if you want even more information talking about the guy's sort of philosophies of life and just general hardships and values and even more in-depth, you pay even more.
Huh.
So if you just want to skim the top and just sort of get the appearance stuff taken care of, but you'd really want to know all the other things that are available to you, you know, you just pay more and more and more for them to reveal more and more about the individual.
The problem about the revealing more and more and more is if you are the company that's selling the sperm, you're losing, as you reveal more and more, you're losing the potential pool of people that might want it. Say, oh, well, no, if he's, you know, I don't want a redhead or I don't want, you know, somebody who's a particular race or, you know, oh, he only graduated from high school and I want a college, you know, graduate or something. I mean, the idea is the more you reveal about a donor, the less likely you are to make a sale. That's
or
why you
the
more
likely
more.
You are to make a sale. When most women go to the sperm bank, I was reading this article just to sort of add more flavor to this whole thing. A lot of them, one of the first things they look for is education. And then they also want to know why. Why are you doing this? So sometimes those stories of why you want to be a sperm donor.
Yeah.
If the person says, I want to be a sperm donor because I saw my sister struggle with infertility and I saw the joy that was brought to her.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the person said, I did it because I needed $40. Who would you be more likely to choose? Huh?
Well, I'm sympathetic to people, you know, hard up in life. And maybe I'd be more sympathetic to that. Who knows? The thing is you're right. They're little like, you know, your fishing lines and you put little lures on them. Also, do you trust there are cases where they are false. That's false information that they're feeding you. And it turns out one was the same doctor for hundreds of kids.
Right.
But anyway, so, I mean, right now, at least, it seems like a happy story. They're all living happily. And who knows, who knew that she would meet the man of her life after she's given birth to his child?
Do you think it's... So the person, the kid reaches out to the father is not going out there and trying to find the kids, right?
No, but he did. To be fair, he's not in hiding. He wrote a modern love column in the New York Times that got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so his name was around, and clearly he's not adverse to that. In fact, there was another story earlier about a guy who, you know, he is now curious because he donated all of, you know, just all the sperm. He figured he'd have X, you know, dozens or as many as 100 people. There is a curiosity on the father's part as well sometimes.
Yeah. Well, we did the movie trailer about the guy in England.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Was it even that movie we did?
Strokes of Genius.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Funnier the second time around.
Tom Brokaw, well, let's see. We'll do Trump real fast. So Trump's skeptical he'll get any sort of help. There are 17 people that have sat down at the board, and he says he's not sure whether or not they'll come through and give him his $5.2 or $3 billion dollars. And they said, what do you think the chances are? And he said, what would he say, 50-50 on that one?
Yeah, he says he kind of doubts that they'll come up with any congressional. He does not know where to sit on this issue because he got burned the first go around. And so now why would you agree to open the government then if you really think there's no chance? He's getting fried by some on the far right. Ann Coulter and Lou Dobbs took him to task over the weekend. Sean Hannity and I think maybe Rush Limbaugh are still on his side. Just we'll see what the eventual deal comes out. If the deal that comes out of this is good for the wall, then they'll forgive him his waffling on the government shutdown business. But
he said that if he doesn't get it, he'll shut down the government again,
or
go for
the national emergency.
Those
are his two options.
Right. Yeah. He should do national emergency so it gets tied up in court. That'd be the best thing for him. Tom Brokaw was on one of those Sunday morning chat shows, and Tom apologized for saying something about Hispanics. Here is Tom Brokaw talking about, you know, I guess it's always the big story. Republicans are a bunch of racists. They want to have a big tent. They've got problems with immigrants. They think all immigrants coming into the country, if they were made citizens, they would vote Democrat. And Brokaw continues with this.
A lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary important new constituency in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other. I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time. You know, that they ought not to be just codified in their communities, but make sure that all of their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly.
Okay. And you can't say things that, well, you can say what you want, but of course, then people come at you for not sort of towing the line, right? In sort of this Orwellian world of you're allowed to say certain things that people agree with, but if you disagree, you have to hurry up and go on Twitter or something and apologize. So Tom Brokaw quickly realizes, oh, I've offended the gods. So he...
Well, I mean, there was pushback. There was actually pushback on that show. Yamisha Alcindor was on that same show and said, I would just say that we also need to adjust what we think of as America. You're talking about assimilation. I grew up in Miami where people speak Spanish and their kids speak English. And the idea that we think Americans can only speak English as if Spanish and other languages wasn't always part of America is in some ways troubling.
Well, it's troubling when you only learn and you only speak Spanish. You don't make as much money. You don't get full-time employment. You have a far more difficult time really establishing yourself. But for those people that learn both English and Spanish,
that's right. They're in
head,
better shape.
Head and shoulders above everybody.
That's right.
So
and most Spanish-speaking Americans also speak English. That's one of the problems. The objection was that he was misrepresenting, you know, the percentage of people that are Mexican, citizens or whatever. But the idea is that most of them do speak English. So this idea that they're not assimilating is what their pushback.
Well, he said, you know, just he would like to see them assimilate a little faster or make a greater effort. So I saw a study out of Philadelphia, right. And they found that Hispanics are the slowest to learn English. Of the five different languages being spoken in the grade schools and high schools. So then NPR decides to do an investigation into it. And the one guy says, it's really interesting. The problem is that these people that speak Spanish and only Spanish are surrounded by other Spanish speakers. So they're actually at a disadvantage because there are so many Spanish speakers. The Chinese kids pick up English faster because they're not surrounded by as many Chinese people. The other interesting fact was, this is from Pew, in 2016 or 17, only 17% of the people that have come here, this is third, fourth generation, consider themselves Hispanic. The majority of them now at this point consider themselves non-Hispanic. So even though they have Hispanic,
what do you mean non-Hispanic? As like Americans,
yeah,
as opposed
yeah,
to Hispanic?
Not Hispanic. So the number's gone down every single first generation comes in here. The fourth generation is like, no, you know what? Even though my mom and my dad, I'm not really Hispanic. They choose non-Hispanic. Only 17%.
Choose.
You on the
choose
census.
Your ethnicity. On the census.
Census.
Okay. Well,
and how do you identify? Do you identify Hispanic or non-Hispanic? Only 17% describe themselves as
Hispanic.
I
would call a successful assimilation. 62% of Hispanic adults in the United States speak English or are bilingual. So that's a big majority. And only 34% of the country's Hispanic population was born outside the United States. So already you've got, you know, the majority of them are already speaking English. Mm-hmm. And they cite all these instances, you know, where people, you come here and they learn that it's usually the next generation that becomes really good at that language. So,
right.
I guess. Anyway, so that's the pushback. I don't think it's any kind of this PC talk. If he didn't disagree with how this came off, he wouldn't have to apologize. He said what he thinks. And there was pushback, and he says, yeah, maybe I was, you know, underinformed.
Oh, yeah. Let's see, even 20-second exercise, you like that? We like the Rent. I like the Rent story.
Yeah, Rent
so every once
great.
In a while on television, they decided to take a Broadway show and do it live. I think they've done May I Fair Lady. I think they've done Peter Pan, right?
Okay, they did Peter Pan. They did Sound of Music. They did Grease.
Yeah. And it's live. The thing is, it's live.
Jesus Christ,
it's choreographed live. Yes.
Yeah.
And they choreograph it.
With the cameras.
Yes. And you're going to watch a live performance on television where anything can go wrong.
Screw-ups, whatever
most
happens.
Most of the time,
happens.
It's been pretty good. There's only been a few mistakes where the camera misses or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this case, on a Saturday during rehearsal, they were doing Rent. And the lead, or one of the leads in Rent, ended up hurting his foot. So then, therefore, he could not go on for the live performance that was supposed to take place on Sunday.
Yeah. So this is, I recorded this on my DVR last night. I'm going to have to go home and take a look at it. What they decided to do was, because he broke his foot and so couldn't do any of the choreography in the show, they decided to take big chunks of the show from the dress rehearsal the night before. Mm-hmm. And so basically it was a pre-recorded version of their performance. And then the last 15 minutes, they all came on stage and sang it with the original members of the original Rent, you know, show on Broadway, like from 25 years ago. And they all sang Seasons of Love. And it's the big famous song that everybody knows from the show. And they said, how ridiculous is it? There's this great attack on it by Matt Zoller Seitz. It says, the whole point of a live show is to run with whatever happens. This would have been fantastic if you show what actually they did. They had 1,000 people in a theater during their performance of the live broadcast.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
What they did was they had a table read. And so what they did was they would read out and sing from a table. Because the guy couldn't jump around, there were certain choreographed numbers. They then referred to the videotape, in effect. Mm-hmm. And then they came back there and they said, that was really... No, they said, that would have been exciting theater. You could actually see, how would the show go on when the lead guy can't officially perform? They said, that would have been much more exciting. Instead, you got a Saturday night rehearsal where nobody's singing out loud. The camera work is not being fantastic. They're just making sure they got their spots. They said they had a chance to have a fantastic live broadcast, stressing the liveness of it. Uh-huh. Instead, they do a pre-recorded thing, gets in the way of the whole point of doing a live broadcast.
So should have just done live, no matter what live was. If it's people sitting around the table doing a table read and then inserting some video and explaining stuff, at least that would be live and that would be interesting, as opposed to sort of a slap together rehearsal.
And I agree. I'd love to do it. In fact, he suggests that must still be on tape somewhere. What they should do is, on the year anniversary of it, they should go ahead and broadcast that. Here's what happened while we were showing the recorded thing.
I wonder how that thing does. Are they counter programming? Is it on main? Is it ABC, NBC, or CBS, or Fox?
It was Fox.
Fox has it. Okay. Did people tune in to watch that? Did you watch those things?
So, I mean, I recorded it because I was sort of curious about how it was going to turn out. But NBC has broadcast in the past. I was trying to think, the Screen Actors Guild Awards were on last night, but that's not a big draw. It'd be interesting. I bet it got the best numbers of the night.
I think you're going to need to do this, Tom. You're going to need to work out for 20 seconds. ABC reporter said you do this thing called a snack exercise.
Yeah. It may not be the most dignified workout.
Could be burning in the thigh.
It is burning.
Burning in the groin.
But Michael Mosley, a doctor turned best-selling author, says that just 20 seconds of grunting, groaning, and pushing your way through the pain, even in business attire.
Oh, my gosh.
You can talk.
I can barely talk.
So they're both on stationary bikes, and they're just pushing all out for 20 seconds.
That's 10 seconds. Halfway there.
Okay. Five, four, three, two, one.
Will make you not only skinnier, but healthier. We're talking about high-intensity interval training.
So high-intensity interval training, only 20 seconds a day?
No. You do it 3 times over the course of a day. They did one where they said, what if we just had people do stairs, like 60 stairs, and they did their 3 20-second exercises right in a row. And they said, yeah, that's actually good for your heart.
Yeah.
They said, but most people don't have that much time at work. What they can do, what would it be like if we did 20-second exercises? Let's say when you first got to work, you ran up 3 flights of stairs and back for 20 seconds. And then at lunch, you did. And then near the end of the day, you did. And they said, yes, even that shows that it's good for the heart and it's good for your body and you'd be better off. Because right now, you're trying to find exercises that people that don't have time to go to the gym and shower and everything else, they can't take that time of the day. You can still get fit little by little, and you can still wear your dress shoes.
hit it hard for 20 seconds. Fast break, come back. We're going to have the know-it-all quiz. We've never done this before.
It'll be weird.
We forgot about it.
Yeah.
It was on a Monday because we got interrupted by the president. Who's coming on to play the know-it-all quiz?
His name's Doug.
Okay, Doug. Doug, you're going to love this. We'll be right back. Trading Academy text line 98973. Be a big part of the show. Coming in on the text line. All right, on Friday, we normally do this thing. We ask somebody to get on the phone, to get on the air. We ask them 5 questions of stories we've covered all week, and then we give away a fabulous prize, which is normally written down on a piece of paper. But not this time.
Oh, yeah. It's the boat show.
Take us to the boat show. You can learn out more by going to SeattleBoatShow.com.
That's 4 tickets, I think.
4 tickets altogether.
I think it was 4 tickets.
Muckleshoot Bingo. Okay, got it. Wow. Luckily, the wheels almost came off. All right. Then the president came on and gave a press conference or made a statement that went on and on and on and on and interrupt the whole show. We had Doug, who was going to come on
lined
and play the
note on
quiz.
Friday.
So I don't know how he spent the weekend knowing that he's on pins and needles, that he's going to be able to do the know-it-all quiz.
I think he went on a win tour.
We will find out. Here he comes now. You already know who he is. Here he goes. His name is Doug. He lives in Kirkland. He just spent the weekend in Wenatchee on a thing that Jacob called a wind tour. And then we realized the E was missing. He owns a landscaping construction company. He says he's an over-listener, and every Christmas he water skis along 520. Are you the guy in the Santa Claus suit, Doug?
I am, yeah.
Wow, we have Santa on the line.
Right. I've seen you out there.
That's perfect.
So how do you, do you do a dock start so you don't get all wet coming down the water skiing on Christmas?
No, it's got to be a deep water start. We've added people to the show. So we got guys dressed up on kneeboard or in reindeer outfits on kneeboards. So we make it quite a show.
Right. So are you freezing cold out there? You got a dry suit on? What are you wearing underneath that Santa Claus suit?
We have a dry suit on, but we have liquid courage that keeps us warm.
All right, good.
Well, I hope you're full of it now because you're going to need it for this quiz.
You know, a lot of people go to Napa or Sonoma or Walla Walla for a wine tour. You chose Wenatchee.
Now, I was in Wenatchee when I called. We were in Chelan for the wine festival this weekend.
Oh, how was it?
So fire and up. It was fantastic. Fire and Ice in Manson, Washington.
Oh, yeah, Fire and Ice. That's a big deal. That's really fun. The whole Main Street closes down. They've got all sorts of big bonfires, and all the restaurants are open. That's really good.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, okay, good. All right, well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to ask you five questions. There's normally, if you hear this sound, you know it's correct. And I hate this sound, so I don't play this one, because it just sounds so nasty. I asked Jacob to find something a little better, so he got this one.
Wrong!
All right, here we go. Tony Tanner, everything you have. I think this is the boat show for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, boy.
That's if you win. By the way, everybody wins. Here's what we're going to do in this one. We're going to actually play cuts. These are actual sounds from the show that will help you with the question, but not the answer. Here comes question number one. What story were we talking about when Jacob said this?
I'd be pretty excited to do something to the robot.
Mm-hmm. Tom.
A, Amazon letting robots loose in Snohomish County. B, another in a seemingly endless supply of sex robot stories that our producer ferrets out from the dark recesses of the web. Or C, we can't remember either, but we like the way Jacob sounds like he just woke up.
A?
Yes! Yeah. At this point, Doug
all right.
from Kirkland has how many correct, Tom?
Doug is one for one, John.
All right, here comes question number two. Felix was nice enough to fill in and said this in reaction to what story. Here is what Felix said.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Was it?
A, it only takes 37 seconds to load a Civil War musket. B, for a healthier relationship, it's best to break off all contact with your mother. Or C, a giant bear escaped from a small Polish zoo and ate half the townspeople.
I'm going to go with A again.
Yes! Yeah. Correct. Wait, boy, you are on a roll.
That's
it's
right.
Like, well, you're water skiing on Christmas or something.
He does say he's an over-listener.
I can't believe I remember last week.
There you go. Yeah. All right. We did a terrible reenactment, but all of our reenactments are horrible. But this one went terribly wrong on purpose. Well, actually, not on purpose. It was the accident because Andrew chose the wrong music and screwed up the whole thing. But aside from that, what were we reenacting when you heard, is this number three, when you heard this?
Run! There's a dark torrent coming at us! It looks like it's going about 35 miles an hour! There's 2.3 million gallons of that stuff!
2.3 million gallons!
Why are you doing gallons? You're from England. Shouldn't you can convert that into, like, liters or metric?
I can't do mental math like that!
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're still on the air.
Yep. I didn't even hear any music in that.
Okay.
So, they were reenacting what?
What? Yes,
A,
Tom.
The tunnel opening. B, the Native American guy drumming and chanting inches from a teenager's face. Or C, the great Boston molasses explosion.
going to have to stick with A.
Yes, again, it's A.
No, it was C.
It wasn't?
It was the molasses explosion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited to have the...
Wrong!
There we go. That's better. All right. Number four, we went into the basement to talk to Andrew and asked if he had ever been there and done that. Oh, my God. Was this uncomfortable? Been there and done what? Here's what he said.
I have been there and I have done that, but not in Amsterdam.
Tom, okay. What is he talking about?
A, Amsterdam and hiring a hooker. B, dressing up like a woman and attending a bridal fair at the CenturyLink Expo just to get free stuff. Or C, got gassy and lit his emissions with a Bic lighter.
A.
Here we go. Number five. Yeah, you're on a roll.
He's
number
impressed
five.
With himself.
Last weekend, Danny O'Neill... Let me get this one. Last weekend, Danny O'Neill said...
I'm not drinking olive oil anymore.
Yeah, what was he reacting to? Tom.
A story about a local QFC store where your shopping trip is guided by a handheld device. B, Danny got scared about food safety because of the government shutdown. C, Danny's dog drank a bunch of olive oil and then got sick. Danny was representing the thoughts going through the dog's head in that drop.
B.
Say A just to get it over with.
I know.
Oh, a lot of there your answers were A,
Jacob. Yeah, why is that? Why'd you set it up that way, Jacob? Did I do that or you do that? All right.
It was a team effort.
Hey, yeah.
It goes along with our terrible reenactment.
Wow, that was bad. Yes, terrible. By the way, we certainly appreciate the fact that you listened. You get a chance to go see the Seattle Boat Show. That's brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. We're bringing that if you want to find out more about the boat show, both at CenturyLink Field there, and then also it's happening over at South Lake Union. Are you a boat guy? You must own a boat if you're out there on Christmas running around and skiing like Santa Claus. Do you have a boat?
I own 5 boats.
Wow. How come you own...
Yeah,
5 boats.
I run a small water ski lesson business, and we rent out boats for wakeboarding and surfing as well.
Wow, that is!
I like to play on the water.
5 boats.
5 boats.
Yeah, hold on. I said 5 boats.
And I'm,
hold on.
Wow.
Yeah. 5 boats.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Give a free plug to your water skiing school.
Hey, Northwest Riders and Moto Sports in Linwood.
Okay, there you go. Stay on the line. Stay on the line. I don't know if that's your phone ringing. Stay on the line, Doug, because we're going to get the rest of the details regarding to get you those tickets and maybe even send you a T-shirt that says I beat John Curley. Do we have any more of those left?
I'll check your bucket.
Do you have any Cairo News hat?
A Cairo News hat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I want a hat, too, John.
<That's>, you are a listener.
Yes.
All hey, right.
What makes you an over-listener, by the way?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Because I go home and I play the podcast back to my wife.
You're the greatest.
Oh, my God. You know what your wife says?
Wrong!
That's right. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Thanks, Doug.
Bye-bye.
Like Typhoid Mary around here. I'm telling you something. Man, you are coughing and spewing.
I know, and I'm at the end. I'm on Delsym, which is this 12-hour cough relief, so I don't cough. And that's by the third hour, I can tell I'm
so
just
it's 12 hours
dry.
It's 12 hours.
Well, I took it at 6.
You time it differently.
All right. I suppose I didn't say which 12 hours.
Here comes the mail. By the way, this is brought to you by Care Partners Senior Living. Thanks for sponsoring this portion of the Tom and Curly Show with your letters. Here comes the mailman. Like we're 7-Eleven.
I'm the mailman, as you can see.
Open.
I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door. There's a teeny tiny lady. Hey, teeny tiny.
Hello!
She tells about letter of the day, but first let's get started now. Here we go. Tom?
So we started off with Howard Schultz looking like he's inching ever near to declaring himself a candidate for presidency an independent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
360 says... That idiot would sell the United States to Oklahoma City.
Ooh, Howard Schultz, no. Worst possible time for third party that may pull from Democrats. If he really cares about the country, he stays out.
Yeah, like Michael Bloomberg did the same kind of thing and realized he just throw the election. Area code 306. Hey, Tom, that's me. I'm one of those deficit hawks that's interested in a Howard Schultz run right here.
How about that?
Yeah, I just don't think there are enough
of them. Hey, Tom.
To throw the election.
No side comments. Remember we talked about no side comments?
No, I don't think I said
that. Well, I think we did say that. Yeah. Let's see. 360.
Context.
Democrats are nervous because they don't have any good candidates. If they had good, solid character candidates, why would they be scared of Howard Schultz?
Okay. And a 425. When I worked for Starbucks, a new promo would come out, often accompanied by a video of Howie explaining his excitement over the new drinks. We would often joke that he needed to notify his face of his excitement. I see the same issue on him running for office. That's funny.
Wow. All of Meat Diet says the meat guy story was hilarious.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be. Jeff and Fife, I'm eating.
That's a side comment. No more side comments. Don't make me
That's
make a comment,
about a side comment. Knock it off, Curly. Jeff and Fife, I'm eating, and this segment is taking me back to the disintegrating orca calf conversation.
360, truly the most disturbing 2 minutes of radio I've ever heard. I think you've reached your poop talk quota for the next 2 months.
At 206, I'm dying laughing over here, and you guys are making my mascara run. Stop it.
CPR, Cougar Ben. Fun fact, CPR tempo also matches Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh.
Depending on the situation, might be more appropriate.
And 425. And remember, if you're not cracking ribs, you're not doing it right.
That's right. 253. My girlfriend once saw a man crash his car and have cardiac arrest. Someone performed CPR until the EMTs got there and took over. After 15 minutes of CPR, he awoke, but he informed them that he had had a heart condition and a do not resuscitate. Oh, my God. He passed away in the hospital because we weren't allowed to help. Crazy stuff. He was pretty young, too.
Wow. 206. John, your training is out of date. The breaths are back in CPR.
No.
I'm an AHA instructor, and your job in CPR is to circulate oxygenated blood to the brain.
Jeez. Wow. Joe Buck on every pass play. Pass is caught.
Thing is, he's doing TV.
That's a side comment.
And 206. Joe Buck is terrible, Tom.
367, Zach Cruz. The important thing to think about is how things might be today had society been considering enough to get Cruz treatment for his obvious problems. Yeah. Hurt people. Stop the vicious cycle of hate and neglect.
And Mike from Bonnie Lake, I hold the Parkland shooter in the same part of my brain as I hold Hitler. Neither deserve any kind of sympathy.
And Big Mac guy, Hugh from Redmond, says, what the story about the Big Mac guy didn't say is that he still has the same car from 1972. It's impossible to sit in the back seat now since he threw all the Big Mac wrappers back there.
It's not true, but it's a funny image.
All right.
And smells on a plane, 425. Why didn't the captain let them breathe out of those oxygen masks that fall from the ceiling? Yeah, there's your solution. You can finally use those things.
Okay, you know, are you going to keep doing this?
As long as you keep side commenting.
Let's see, 253. There is a term, but for I forget it, like when you first put on cologne or perfume, you smell it, but only for a short time. Okay.
Yeah. John Stripp to the local Republican conference. Yes. John in Arlington.
Yeah.
On John's Ocean Shores karaoke tour.
Yes.
Although I could have nailed Sweet Caroline, I believe John would have much preferred I did coming to America to fire up the Republican crowd and get the debate rolling on good old capitalism and the American dream or building the wall.
Oh, yeah. Coming to America. You know it.
America.
Yeah. 628 says, Sammamish hack. At the end of the day, Sammamish is paying the price for security debt. They won't be able to unlock any files until the ransomware encrypted private key. If they had offline backups in place, they could tell them to go to hell.
On the Seattle sperm donor, Dell in Dallas, the Brady Bunch, they're not.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Letter of the day.
Comes from 253. Oh, Curly, from today's jogging bathroom emergency anecdotes and doing so in your neighbor's flower bed, was it?
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, I know.
To your not-so-long-ago tale of who needs TP when you have a bath mat?
I didn't.
Yes, you do scatological humor.
I don't.
Embrace it, John. Embrace it.
I did not use the bath mat. That was my neighbor. That was not me.
It's a friend of yours, I know.
Out of time. Bye-bye.